goes with the introduction to my sermon, so I just thought instead of speaking it to you, I'll just sing it a little, if I can.
There's a line that's been drawn through the ages. On that line stands an old rugged cross. On that cross a battle is raging for the gain of men's soul or his loss. On one side march the forces of evil, all the demons, all the devils of hell. On the other, the angels of glory, and they meet on Golgotha's shakes with the force of the conflict, and the sun refuses to shine, for there hangs God's Son in the balance, and then through the darkness cried, "It is finished, the battle is over, it is finished, there'll be no more war, it is finished, the end of the conflict, it is finished. And Jesus is Lord." Yet in my heart the battle was raging. Not all prisoners of war had come home. These were battlefields of my own making. I didn't know that the war had been won. Then I heard the King of the ages. He has fought all the battles for me, and victory, victory is mine for the claiming. And now, praise his name, I am free. It is finished, the battle is over. It is finished, there'll be no more war. King of the battle, it is finished, and Jesus is Lord.
It's interesting that when Paul mentions the race that you and I are on, being believers, that he always comes back to the cross. And Hebrews chapter 12 is the theme of my sermon. And he says, "Therefore," 12 verse 1, "since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's bow forward to prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you'll just kind of calm my heart, and just pray that as your Spirit just gives me the words to say, that he might use his power to touch our hearts, touch our lives, Lord, that we might realize that we're in a very crucial race at a very crucial time in history. Lord, I just pray that as he ministers to us, that you would receive the glory and the honor that's due your name. In that precious name, Jesus Christ, amen. Take off my coat. I had someone this morning say you have to wear your coat because it makes your outfit go together. But she said that I could take it off to preach, so I don't know who that might be. But I didn't know that we wore outfits. But we do now. So anyway, in 1986, in the New York Marathon, it's remembered by not the winner of the race, but who came in dead last. And his name was Bob Whelan. It took him 4 days, 2 hours, 47 minutes, and 17 seconds to finish the New York Marathon. 17 years before that, he was in Vietnam and his legs were blown off. And he sat on a saddle and put leather on his hands, and he just went like this, you know, just hopping. He can make 1 mile in 1 hour. And he raced that whole race with his arms just pulling. He didn't care whether he won. He cared about finishing. And that's the race that you and I are on. We are on a race that Paul says, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race run all, but only the one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not to beat the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." The writer of Hebrews gives us three encouragements in our run of this race that is set before us. And they all start with, "Let us." And especially if you have the King James, it'll all say that. My Bible in the New American leaves off the last one. But it says, "Let us." Let us. I gotta find my page here. Let us run the race with endurance. Oh, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. That's the first one. Let us run with the endurance, the race that is set before us. And then the last one is, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Before we get into that, we have to look at that word, therefore. Therefore, having a cloud of witnesses before us. The writer of Hebrews is now kind of causing us to look back one chapter. The chapter of the 11, talking about the heroes of faith, those men and women approved by God who finished this life of expectant faith. That's our race. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in God that what he says he will accomplish through us. The first aspect that those witnesses had in common is that they had a belief in God's word. Abraham, who had no one to go back on to look at. We have the word of God. He had nothing. God spoke to him and said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. And he believed God. And it was accounted to him as righteousness. Moses, at the burning bush, believed God for the freedom of his people. Joshua believed God for the victory that they would win going into the land of Canaan. David believed God that his sons will sit on his throne forever. The prophets believed God, and they prophesied concerning what God said about the nation of Israel. All these believed God and took him at his word. The next aspect of those witnesses is that they were committed to God's will. They were committed to God's will. They were expecting God to work. Now, I don't know if any of you or how many have been watching that Bible thing on Sunday nights, but what really touched my heart was seeing Abraham outside his tent looking up at the stars and counting them. Because God said, as the number of stars are, that's your descendants. And I thought he was expecting God to work and counting the stars. And I thought, well, that's just, you know, that's faith. That's his race. Believing God, expecting God to work, to do his plan. Moses expected freedom for his people. God to work, and God worked in mighty ways. And that's the third aspect. That they ran the race, the entire race of faith, expecting God to work, expecting God to, or believing in God's work. And page 2, that's not here. Expecting God, or devotion to God's work. They were devoted to God's work. James chapter 2, 18 through 28 says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. But well you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? You see how faith wrought by his works made his faith perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. They were devoted to God's work. What I'd like you to do at this moment is just kind of close your eyes and vision with me what the rest of your life looks like. You know, kids, you might have a long ways to vision. Some of us have 10 years left, maybe 20, maybe 5. What does that look like in this race of faith? Thank you. You can open your eyes. You know, what does that look like in this race? I ran in high school and I ran in college, and I've determined I ran the 2 mile. Now it's called the 1600 meter race. But there's three important aspects of running. Is first, when you take off, you don't want to start too slow, and you don't want to do a sprint when it comes to a marathon. You want to keep up with the leaders, but you don't have to pass them. You just don't want them to get out of sight. And then the next important aspect of the race is right in the middle. When you're in your pace and your legs are starting to feel it, and you say, well, is this worth it? And then the last lap, actually the last half a lap, is important because you have to have the strength in your legs to just start the sprint. And a lot of times when we're old, that sprint is gone. Friday, I was taking the bus to work, and I thought I was late, and I saw a bus coming over the hill, and the bus stop was down the road. So I start running. Well, I'm suffering for that today. I guess I'm not a long-distance runner anymore. But a lot of times as we grow in the Lord, we tend to get burdened. We tend to get things in our lives. And that's what the writer of Hebrews, I have to make sure I don't say Paul, but the writer of Hebrews says, let us throw off every weight that hinders. We need the right preparation. We need to follow the rules, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You follow the rules. Well, the first rule in the Greek games was you had to prove you were a citizen of Greece. If you were going to run in the ancient Olympics, you had to prove that you were a citizen. Only citizens run. Now, I believe that's why Paul always brings the cross with the race. Are we a citizen, first of all, of heaven? Have we believed that Jesus Christ took my place on that cross that we talked about last week? That he rose again for me? Did I take him at his word and trust in him as my Savior and Lord? Am I a citizen of heaven? That's the first rule. The next rule was that they had to prove that they trained for 10 months before the races of the Olympics started. How prepared are we for our race? Have we been training? Are we like those ancient heroes of faith? Are we believing God at his word? Are we expecting God to work? Are we devoted to doing God's will? That's the preparation for the race that we're on. And when you're a runner or when you're a bicyclist, I have a daughter-in-law who's a bicyclist and she runs in the triathlon. Her whole training period is in concentration of winning that race. She's practicing, it seems like all her life, she's running or biking or something, but she's looking at the race. When she's going to go to Portland to be in that marathon, or when she's going to go somewhere else for a triathlon, she's looking at winning the race. So far, she's never won. She's come in real close, but that's her goal. That's her preparation. She's leaving all the other distractions behind so that she can run the race. Let us throw off every weight that hinders us. See, we sometimes want to take shortcuts in our race. We don't necessarily want to train. We don't necessarily want to have the discipline, as Paul speaks about in 1 Corinthians 9, to discipline himself. But that's all part of this race that we're running, the race of expectant faith. What are those weights? What weighs us down? They're not necessarily bad things. Baseball season's here, and you'll see the batters in the batting box, swinging the bat, and they put a donut on their bat. It's a weighted lead, and they swing the bat, and they kind of watch the pitcher, and as he pitches to the previous batter, he's swinging, that bat with the lead on it. But you don't see him going up to the plate with the lead. They'd never catch up with those pitches, right? But that's the purpose of the lead, so that when they pick up that bat, that 34-ounce bat or whatever, it feels like a toothpick. and they can come around on that ball and knock it out sometimes. You know, but it's the weight. They have to put it down. And so often, we have to put down our confidence in our flesh. You know, there's certain things that I can do. And sometimes I just go ahead of the Lord because I can do it. Confidence in the flesh. Sometimes our natural abilities. We have to put down and say, Lord, I want your abilities to work. Your strength instead of mine. Perhaps our social standings stand in our way. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says, endure hardships with us like a good soldier. No soldier entangles himself in the affairs of this world that he may please his commanding officer. These are good things, but don't be entangled by them. Throw them off. Perhaps it's the past. So often, when we get my age, that's what we talk about. The past. How God has worked. How God has done this. Or what was accomplished. And we forget that I'm still in the race. I'm still in that race until Paul says that crown of life is given to everyone who, you know, is expecting to die or Christ to return. You know, when we're out of this world is when this race is over. But until then, we're in the race. And so often when we get older, and kids, this is what you have to watch out for. You're just beginning your race. And you have to realize it's an endurance. It's a long marathon. And it doesn't stop until we see the Lord face to face. Paul says in Philippians 3, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of the prize. And when he wrote this, he had already been on 3 missionary journeys. He's already written the book of Galatians, the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Corinthians, and the book of Romans. And you're knowing how long it takes to go through the book of Romans on Sunday evening, right? You know, that's already Paul has accomplished in his race. But he says, you know, I still haven't finished. I'm still in the race. And then he says, the sin which so easily entangles us. There are 3 things that sin does in a believer's life. And it's really similar to an athlete or a musician or television stars or whoever we think are great people. You know, we thought that some of these bands of the 70s really rocked, you know. And then we start seeing them dying off. Not just fading, but literally dying because of drugs. Dying because of their lifestyle. You know, sin corrupts Christians. It corrupts everyone. Sin can control us. Even the petty sin that we think is just nothing, it controls. And sin will change your life. Change your focus. It'll knock you out of the race. Many football players are no longer playing football, not because they can, but they won't let them in because of their life. That's what happens when sin comes in. And with a believer, it can destroy years of running the race. And yet, we can be thankful that God is willing. And that's one thing that I've learned throughout the ages. There is no person in the Bible that God won't use that he desires to be used by God. David, when he committed his sin of adultery, God didn't say, okay, I'm finished with you. But in repentance, in Psalm 51, when he repented, God says, you're a man after my own heart. Samson, living with prostitutes. And yet, he said, God, give me my strength one more time. And God used him. He's in the book of, you know, the Hall of Fame there. You know, Samson would be the last person we would put there, right? But he was approved by God because he finished the race. Others, you know, that God used, even though they had that sin. And that's why the writer of Hebrews says, the sin which so easily entangles us. You know, there is something in each of our lives that we have to really be on guard for. Because you and I know that if I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time, I could fall into that sin. And that's what it means to lay it aside, to throw it off, so that I'm not tripped up by sin. The second step after preparation is a pursuing the life of expectant faith through our attitude. It said, let us run with patience the race marked out before us. I've stated that it's not a sprint, that it's a marathon. And when you start running, the first thing you want to do is take off. Your legs, through all the preparation, want to take off. And you have to hold them back. Have to have patience so that we can endure. But it's interesting. Let us run is a command to keep on running. It's not a time to just stop and relax. It's keep on running, but with patience. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So God has a race just for you. A race just for me. They might not be the same type of race that we're looking at. But Hebrews 12 says, the race that is marked out for us. Ephesians 2 says, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We each have a race. And mine might be different than yours. Yours might be different than your husband's. But it'll always be the race of expectant faith. Always the race of faith. That's why Hebrews 11 says, by faith, Abraham. By faith, Noah. By faith, Moses. By faith, the prophets. It's a race of faith. And that brings us to the last step, our motivation. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And what is Jesus? The author and perfecter of our faith. See, he's our motivation. We learned about that last week and the week before. When he endured the cross, he showed his patience. He showed his endurance. His race, even though it was only 3 years, he was faithful to the end. And his resurrection proved his faithfulness. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Have you ever thought about the Old Testament personnel who are not listed in that Hall of Fame? How come Uzziah is not here? Uzziah, it says, he walked in the ways of God until, right? Until pride came in. And he went into the altar. He was going to make the sacrifice. The priest says, Uzziah, you can't do that. Only the priest can. And he said, I don't care. And as he was ready to do the incense, leprosy came on. And he's not even buried with the other kings of Judah. They buried him in a special sepulcher because he had leprosy. God caused him to have leprosy. Asa is not mentioned in the book of Hebrews. He was another king who did right in the sight of the Lord. But when he got our age, some of us, he decided, well, I need to get a king from one of the nations to help me out. And God sent a prophet and says, why didn't you ask me? Does that sound familiar? Do sometimes we in our old age, we start saying, well, this is what I'm going to do. This is how my life's going to be. And it says, God sent a disease in his feet. The purpose of that disease was so that Asa would turn around and come to God. But it says, he would not even ask God for deliverance. Instead, he sought the physicians. His life, you know, perfect until that time. Serving the Lord in faith and doing great things. But he's not here in the Hall of Fame. Because the pride. Because of going somewhere else. There's many others that we could look at. But we need to focus on Jesus. That's our motivation. Christ endured the cross. He's our example of winning the race. We have these many witnesses who have completed the race. It doesn't say focus on them. It says focus on Jesus, the author and finish of our faith. We're encouraged to throw off the weights and the sin. We're encouraged to run with endurance. And we're encouraged to fix our eyes on Jesus. But there's a promise at the end of this. There's a reward. And Paul says that there's a reward, a crown of life waiting for me. And not only for me, he says, but to everyone who is looking for the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's the end of the race. When we see Christ, there is a reward. I like, and I'll close with this, what the Saddleback Church did after reading the Purpose-Driven Life. And they had a little thing filled out. I'm not going to read it all. But I would like to just read part of what that church did. They got together and they read this together. And then I guess they all signed it. But I just like what it said. It says, I've made a choice. The verdict is in, and my decision is irrevocable. I'm going God's word, God's way. There's no turning back now. I will live the rest of my life serving God's purposes with God's people on God's planet for God's glory. I will use my life to celebrate his presence, cultivate his character, participate in his family, demonstrate his love, and communicate his word. Since my past has been forgiven, and I have a purpose for living and a home waiting in heaven, I refuse to waste any more time or energy on shallow living, petty thinking, trivial talking, thoughtless doing, useless regretting, hurtful resenting, or faithless worrying. Instead, I will magnify God, grow to maturity, serve in ministry, and fulfill my mission in the membership of his family. because this life is preparation for the next. I will value worship over wealth, we over me, character over comfort, service over status, and people over possessions, position, and pleasures. I know what matters most, and I'll give it all I've got. I'll do the best I can with what I have for Jesus Christ today. And that's my prayer. You know, that should be all of our prayer. That from now on, no matter where we are in life, we're going to run this race without the weights, without the sin that so easily beset us. We're going to run this race looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, and we're going to persevere. We're going to finish. And that's my hope. That's my expectant faith, that God is going to do what he promised. That's what Abraham believed, counting the stars. Moses, Joshua, David, all this. But what I think is the neatest thing of chapter 11 is the last verse. Verse 29, it says, "And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised." That was left up for you and me. That's what it says. It says, because God had provided something better for us. We have that promise. We're not looking forward to it. It's there. This life in Christ Jesus is no longer, like these other heroes of the faith, something in the future. We have it now. And when we run the race, we can look to Jesus. What he did for us. These others, they were looking forward. They've never seen the Messiah. They never had, you know, the completed vision of the Savior dying on the cross for their sins. We do. Let us run the race. He didn't send us just to start it. He sends us to finish it. And then we might even have the commendation that these heroes had. It says, "Men and women of whom this world was not even worthy of." You know, you want to be a man or a woman who this world's not even worthy of having because of our faith and trust in Jesus Christ through our lives being lived out, finishing the race. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who is our author and who perfects our faith because of what he did, the joy of the cross, him looking forward to seeing each one of us as his brothers because of our belief in him, and him looking forward as a victor, looking forward to us running this race and someday receiving the victor's crown. Cause us to be faithful in this race. Cause us to look to you for our confidence. Look to you for our strength. And cause us to persevere until this race is over for us. In Jesus' name.